Cryer. Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in absolutely anything, anywhere, at any time. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, also the best, and my co-host, Kara Kittrick, easily second best.
Debatable.
Yeah, well, you introduced the show. I'm sure it'll go the other way around.
Yeah.
Kara, you got any news for us today?
Yeah, so I've got a couple climate change things, because I wrote this newscast a week ago, and then before we recorded, a bunch of new things happened. So I'm just really stacked on climate change. So first, extreme heat waves were recorded simultaneously in both the Arctic to the north and the Antarctic to the south, leaving climate scientists baffled by the extreme nature of this event. One researcher called temperatures recorded in the Antarctic, where it is autumn, quote, absolutely absurd. Second, a new climate report by the United Nations indicate that emissions would have to peak just 2 years from now in order to remain below 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is the number that's been held up as the sort of safe number for global warming for many decades now. In response, climate scientists staged simultaneous protests around the world, chaining themselves outside of the White House, blocking the road to the German parliament, and in Los Angeles, chaining themselves outside the entrance to the J.P. Morgan Chase building to protest their funding of new oil projects. Almost all of these protests, despite being relatively small, were met with massive police force, dozens of officers, showing up to arrest just four scientists in L.A. Said one of the L.A. scientists in an op-ed in The Guardian, quote, "How can I plead any harder? What will it take? What can my colleagues and I do to stop this catastrophe unfolding now all around us with such excruciating clarity?" The title of the op-ed was, "Climate Scientists Are Desperate, We're Crying, Begging, and Getting Arrested." Pretty dramatic.
Yeah, so you think this will get people to care? You think?
No, but I mean, look, it is the long game. I was actually reading, it doesn't matter why, about, like, civil rights history the other day. And I feel like a lot of people kind of think of, like, the civil rights movement as starting with MLK and stuff. And, like, you know, that you ask them when did it begin, and they push it back to, like, the 40s at the earliest or whatever, right? But, no, the civil rights movement began with Reconstruction immediately after the Civil War. And then you just have basically 100 years of people, like, protesting, writing, you know, doing all kinds of things, organizing,
right,
before they, any of the stuff they were trying to get to happen really happened. So
it depends on if you consider civil rights starting like when black people started fighting for it and actually achieving things, or because they were set free, not coming down on their attempts, or when, sure, white people noticed, which was 1968.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, like, my point is, I don't know. I think this is unlikely to result in any tangible policy, but I think climate awareness has come a long way in, like, the last 20 years.
So, I do too. I was actually thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking that it's too bad that we can't have a smart conversation about this, the world, not you and me, that we can't have a smart conversation about this, because I was doing something with carpet cleaners. You know, one of my many jobs is helping, sure, carpet cleaners marketing, and they had some guy talking about protectorate, and it's spray on plastic, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, it's, you know, there's some eco stuff, California, so on and so forth. This may get blocked and people won't be allowed to have this anymore. And people are just all, well, that's bad for the environment to spray around persistent chemicals into the environment. And his argument was, yes, a wool rug should last 100 years, but in his opinion, carpets and rugs don't wear out, they ugly out. And without some sort of protectorate, nobody's going to keep that rug for 100 years. So basically there's this give and take of keeping the landfills free. Like, what is doing less? Like this argument of gasoline or coal. And then we're all like, what about clean burning natural gas? And they're all, well, it's not really clean. It's still doing this, that, and the other thing, you know, but it's less. Should we have that realistic discussion where we at least move in the right direction together, but we can't even really do that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I made a point there, but there is a point there with the rug and the protector.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think maybe your point was that people...
I don't particularly have a point. It just made me think, you know, but go ahead.
Yeah. I think it goes to show that, like, the issue is not, like, the structural, like, engineering element of the rug. The issue is, like, people have rugs because they want to have a clean rug that makes them feel nice, right? And that's
right.
Perfectly realistic. So it's, like... But I think a lot of times technical aspects of, like, what can we do to solve this issue ignore sort of the human, like, okay, but how are people going to actually act? I don't really think that's what's going on here, though. Because, right. Like, most Americans want action on climate change, you know? Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, 30% or something that just doesn't think we should do anything, doesn't think it's a real issue, something like that. Actually, it might be a little higher. I'm not sure. I haven't looked recently. But it's a big portion that doesn't think we should do anything like that. But, like, most people want it, and our political system is just so dysfunctional that, like, we are unable to act even on things where there's, like, a clear majority of people want action, right? So the root problem here, I think, is not lack of awareness. I think the root problem is our government doesn't work, you know?
Yeah, and I also think people lie a lot. Because the question isn't really, do you think we should do something about this? The question ultimately is, are you willing to be a part of doing something about this?
True, yeah.
And that's, I don't think different. People are answering that question. You know, so like with the carpet thing, basically, I don't want to buy a wool rug because I can't keep it clean. I'm going to buy the nylon carpet, you know, and so because I can keep that clean, where maybe the spray protector, and now it sounds like I'm selling carpet protectors, but you get my point is that there are steps along the way. You know, natural gas is an example. I was about to say prime example, but frankly, I don't know that much about it to even give it that label, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah, but we'll never be able to get there. So it's kind of like we're all like feast or famine, all or nothing in order to get anything done.
And right. I mean,
doing all.
Yeah. Well, our current political system is like every 30 years or so, one party takes control of all branches of government and has a super majority proof, like majority in the Senate. And at that point, they can pass one bill. Right, you know,
yeah.
And when that happens, what they're going to choose is not climate change, right? If it's the Republicans, it's going to be tax cuts for the rich, and if it's the Democrats, it's going to be a healthcare thing that is lackluster, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be climate, so it's, yeah. And sadly, this is something that really, like, you can help on a state level, but you definitely can't solve climate on a state level.
You can't even solve it on a country level.
No, but it would definitely, I think the U.S. is actually a really big sticking point in a lot of these negotiations, because the argument of, like, India and China and stuff, who are really big polluters, are basically, you got to use this polluting technology for hundreds of years, and it made you rich before you had to modernize. So we should get that same courtesy. And if you don't want us polluting the planet, great. Use some of your ill-gotten gains to pay for us to modernize. And frankly, I think that's a perfectly reasonable argument. But it's not going to happen until we actually tackle our end of the emissions, and then we can work on helping with theirs. Like, we're not going to be able to convince them to make any concessions while we're where we are.
Right. And
so I think the U.S. is just a huge stumbling block in the entire diplomatic.
Yeah. You know, but we got to give some credit, because one area is, if we were to make this move, it would make the double impact. And the other impact would be, now this is going to take maybe admitting that there is some advantage to being a capitalist society, but, you know, a lot of these innovations are coming from the private sector of the United States.
Kinda.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a tap house rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House. Pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join me April 23rd at the Wind River Event Center for the 28th Annual Reading Chapter of Safari Club International Banquet. Dinner, games, auctions, raffles, and more. Win hunting trips, guns, artwork, hunting and outdoor gear during the banquet. Someone will win a safe and two guns. For more information and tickets, go to sciredding.org or call 530-474-5075.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
It's the same thing as anything else. The innovations are being marketed, but it's... Okay, so a couple things here. First of almost all the, like, actual tech for green energy that we use today, it's like in anything else. It was developed at a university decades ago, right? But also, most of the money, or a lot of the money that has, like, kick-started the growth in solar energy over the last 10 years was earmarked in the 2009 stimulus bill. So, like, kinda.
It's stimulated capitalism. So it's not really capitalism. It's a slightly socialist capitalism.
Well, yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. Like, the free market would not do this on its own, probably, because the free market has no way to deal with the negative externalities of, like, pollution.
Well, that might be a fun thing if I'm allowed to sick you on a segment, you know, maybe do like you did for the Nazi clubhouses, but with some of those green energy and where they're coming from in the world, so we can talk about what kind of governments and what type of people are actually pursuing this.
Yeah, I mean, I can do that. Well, the other thing, though, is that, like, the other thing, though, is that, like, the green energy tech we have now is in most ways perfectly sufficient to meet our current needs.
It does kill all those birds, though.
Kinda. I mean, well,
rats of the sky, man.
You know what also kills birds is, you know, 6 degrees Celsius of global warming, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good argument. That's a really good argument.
So, like, the thing is that none of these technologies have to be perfect. They just have to be better than fossil fuels.
That's kind of where I was getting at with some of this. You know, I feel like, you know, again, I'm going with natural gas, but I don't really know. But let's pretend natural gas. But, you know, and I feel like there's people pushing for it, but they're the wrong people in some people's eyes. And there's people pushing against it, but they're the wrong people in the other people's eyes. You know, right. It's a lot like Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson is a type of music that sounds like a lot of the other bands that I grew up with that I should like. But I find Marilyn Manson fans so stupid that it's hard for me to get into the band.
Yeah. Well, I definitely agree. Definitely in the climate change thing, there's a lot of...
Not on Marilyn Manson, though.
Well, I don't know anything about Marilyn
Manson. Oh, okay.
But, like, a couple years ago, there was the whole thing. There was basically an article that said, you know, we have 12 years to stop climate change and we'll die, basically, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then that got parroted a lot. And basically what it was is that the article was fine. Basically, the headline was super misleading because the article was basically saying we need to make these changes. We need to, like, start making these changes by 2030 or else in the long run we're going to have more problems. That's what the article was saying. The headline was just in this super hyperbolic way. And then a lot of people only read the headline. And then you've got people like politicians and stuff saying,
they're trying to take my hamburgers.
Right. Well, no, you had politicians being like, we have 12 years to solve global warming or, you know, we're all going to die in 12 years kind of thing. And it's like, no, that's just wrong.
Yeah, but there will be a day that is the case.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is I thought you were pointing out that a lot of, like, progressives on this issue are unbearable. And I think that's true.
Not unbearable, but unbearable to the people on the other side. I didn't necessarily...
Oh, well, yeah.
But yes, there are also people who are just... unpleasable, and there is no right answer for those people. And yes, there are absolutely those on both sides, but I just meant that both sides see other as demonized. So even if they say something smart, I can't even hear it.
Okay, I'm
not that
going to say something perhaps controversial.
Oh, good.
I think that the left and the right are never going to come together on this, which is not the controversial part. Therefore, it's the left's job to just steamroll the right, basically.
Unfortunately, that's how the right feels.
I know. They have to lose or we die.
I see. So it's a kill or be killed situation?
Yes. And, okay, I say or we die. It's very hyperbolic.
Our way of life dies?
Yeah, maybe.
Or most all life.
The most likely thing that will happen with climate change is that it's really, really going to suck for developing countries. There will be mass migrations, and basically life will just be a lot worse, but we will eventually solve it, and then we'll just continue in our worst world for a long time, and most of the, you know, a lot of poor people will die. I think that's the most likely thing that will happen. I think there is also a chance that our civilization will just collapse. I think that is a chance. It's not a huge chance, but it is there.
Well, magically, somehow we could figure out how to terraform Mars, even though we can't figure out how to get carpet protectorant out of the ground.
Right. Yeah, well, let's terraform our own planet first. You know, once
exactly.
We might need to.
Yeah. All right. I will throw this out before we move on to the next topic, and that is Andrea. I know you're out there listening, and it has crossed my mind a couple of times. Andrea, a couple weeks ago, bought me $40 in cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah.
So I can watch it go up and down. And every time I watch it go up and down, I think, what's my carbon footprint now?
Right. Well, it depends on the crypto. I'm not a huge fan of crypto in general, but, like, there are some cryptocurrencies that are very environmentally onerous, and there are some that are basically fine from that perspective. So
I want to get somebody on here to explain to me what's up with that, you know, why that's the case.
What's up with the environmental cost of crypto?
Well, I mean, if it's so environmentally bad, why is it only environmentally bad sometimes? Because they're not running good power systems?
Well, no, I can explain that. It's basically just because proof of work is much more demanding computationally than proof of stake.
Wait, what?
Okay, so big digression here.
Hang on, let me get my man bun.
No. Oh my gosh, it's been a long time since I read up on all this. If you had asked me this like 2 months ago,
well, I'm just wondering why some are worse for the environment than others. Is it because they've gone on so long that the computation takes longer?
No, it's just the way the computation is done in proof of work. Proof of work basically means you have to solve a bunch of math problems for every new coin you want to mine. And that's basically what keeps people from, that's what keeps the supply low, right? Because it's artificial scarcity, otherwise the coins have no value. The value is all imaginary anyway, and that's what
so
I
it's processing like. Power and time. Some
exactly, it's just
some
processing
pick.
Power. Proof of stake, on the other hand, basically is the more coins you have, if, I don't think this is quite right, I kind of forget, but it's basically like the more coins you have, the more easy it is to get new coins, and that's what keeps it scarce. Like, it's just a different model for imposing scarcity that doesn't require, you know, dozens of warehouses full of graphics cards running at max all the time. All
gotcha.
That time.
Gotcha.
And that's what creates the environmental cost, is just, you know, these massive warehouses that are devoted to farming these, like, imaginary coins.
Yeah, Andrea is so desperate to be into cryptocurrency. She's so into it, desperate for us to be into it. What we got to do is put in $20 a month just to buy her onto the show. You know, we'll put in $20 into our own. She'll be happy that that's happening. She's such a pusher of the crypto.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I feel like I was just very disparaging of crypto. I don't want to come down on anyone who's into it. My big issue with it is I feel like people are not being honest about the fact that it's basically a casino. Like,
right, yeah.
A lot of crypto people, I think, really are pushing the narrative that, like, crypto is the future, invest in this because it's the future in some nebulous way. Mm-hmm. Like, they believe that cryptocurrency actually does have some tangible societal value, which I don't, and I think that's a very hard argument to make. I think it's a biggest loser scam. So if you buy crypto and you make money, it's because you sold the crypto to someone who bought crypto. And eventually there's someone who is going to be at the tail end of that and who is going
it's
to lose.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, it is. And, like, that's fine because, like, casinos are also the house always wins. You know, if you want to make money at a casino, sure, just don't put in more than you can afford to lose. It's fine. But as long as everyone knows that, right? And it's unregulated, and I think a lot of its proponents are not honest about the fact that, you know, do it at your own risk. It's not a sure thing.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
RC from Tobacco and Brew here, introducing this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Perla del Mar, a gem of a smoke. The Perla del Mar features special, hand-selected, aged binder and long filler from four distinct regions of Nicaragua. Smooth, lush flavor with a complex but balanced smoking experience. Perla del Mar. Get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us. And my brother-in-law, my family was up, and I was talking to my nephew. He's 13. And one of his friends, his goal is to, like, create and mine his own cryptocurrency. That's, like, his goal for the future. And so I'm talking to my brother-in-law about this, and he's just all like, yeah, it's like, you know, so my son's interested in this. And I'm just all like, and I'm all, yeah, just treat it like playing basketball, like going like, oh, that's great, but have a backup plan because you're going to need it.
Right.
You know, it's like. But I thought also, it was maybe, interesting that even 13
maybe don't do it in the
like,
future. Do it now.
Right.
Because it might not be big in the future.
Exactly. Maybe the two of them could play together and do it, you know, as a game. But, it was just interesting to me that here are like 13-year-olds, you know, I remember being young, when all of a sudden people were going like, I'm going to be a rapper when I grow up and, for one, it's unlikely. And then for two, most people weren't hugely familiar with rap in 1985. You know, it only been around for 6 years. And so it kind of felt like, you know, this was going on here where the dad's just all like, my 13-year-old kid wants to be into crypto. And I don't know what the hell that means, you know. I guess that's the point of my thing. There are parents out there that went, oh, 13. I'm preying on their fears.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I don't know, most people just don't understand how crypto works. I don't really. I feel like I know some of the basics, but I know enough to think, yeah, I don't really need to know more, and I don't want to be involved.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm not an investing whiz, for one.
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing about something, I'm starting to feel like, ooh.
Yeah, I should have got into that earlier. Because I'm hearing about it, it's already over.
Well, my brother has a friend who worked for Uber for a long time. They, like, worked for Uber when it was really small, so they already made a ton of money doing that. But they bought Bitcoin when it was, like, a few cents.
Hmm.
And So they made, you know, a gajillion dollars off of that. And that would have been a nice thing to do, but, like, I'm right. certainly not going to get into Bitcoin now.
All right, let's.
Yeah, that's enough of that.
There's a whole lot of that news. What do you got for us?
Right, so the Russians have pulled out of Chernobyl since several infantry got sick after digging trenches in the highly irradiated Red Forest nearby. Surprise, surprise. The severity of their sickness is unknown, as is the number of soldiers affected.
Okay, this one is, you know, I was a little surprised that they wanted Chernobyl in the first place. They'd be all like, we're going to conquer your country. You guys can all hang out at Chernobyl if you want. It's like,
right,
what are
yeah.
you going to do with that? Why did they want it? Was it strategic on some level? I was really confused why they would even want that.
I don't know, actually. My guess is it's one of two things, right? And I'm just spitballing here. I feel like I often fall into the, like, category of, like, de facto expert on the show, and sometimes I know what I'm talking about. In this case, I don't, and I want to be clear here.
Okay.
But I'll bet it's either...
We'll flash something up on the screen.
Yeah, just non-expert alert. I'll bet it's either that they wanted to secure the facility and make sure that, like, nothing happened to it during the fighting, basically. Because just, like, a lot of people put themselves at a lot of risk to just, like, build the dome over the roof, right? So if a mortar shell blows up the roof, then it's like, great, now we have to spend $500 million to fix that, right?
Right.
Because it's so dangerous. Or it's just that this area, the general area, was strategic in other ways. And they were just kind of there. And that's kind of what I suspect it is, since they were digging trenches in the forest. It doesn't sound like people who were super in the know, maybe, on what the deal is with this place. And so maybe they were just like, the Ukrainians are over there, we're advancing, now we're over here, and oh shoot, Sergei just threw up and is growing weird lumps, kind of
thing. Yeah, well, I think there was definitely a lack in chain of command there for sure. One thought that I thought was maybe it was advantageous politically, in the sense that if we start controlling the infrastructure and even the problems of these regions, we will establish ourselves as the leaders that don't leave.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, too. And I'm 3 out of 4, listeners, correct me if this is wrong, but I'm pretty sure 3 out of 4 of the reactors at Chernobyl are still producing power and are still connected to the grid.
It is
still a power plant. Like, it's just reactor 4 that blew up.
Right. Yeah. Crazy, man. Just crazy. God. I could spend a whole segment just going, what? Why? Huh? What? What is he possible?
I mean, we should really
going to get out of this situation. It's like...
We should talk about Chernobyl sometimes, because it's crazy. But
yeah, we'll have a Chernobyl history show.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. Okay, well, what do you got next?
Okay, last one here. So we got Republican U.S. Representative Madison Cawthorn caused a bit of a stir a few weeks ago when he said the following words, quote, I mean, being kind of a young guy in Washington, where the average age is probably 60 to 70, and I look at all these people, a lot of them that I've looked up to through my life, I've always paid attention to politics, then all of a sudden, you get invited, Cawthorn says, quoting one such alleged exchange, invited to an orgy, sorry, kind of cut off the end there on my notes.
That's a good part.
The most important word, yeah, and he says, oh, hey, we're going to have kind of a sexual get-together at one of our homes. You should come. I'm like, what did you just ask me to come to? Then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy, Cawthorn, 26, said. He later said on the same podcast, the fact that there's some of the people leading on the movement to try and remove addiction in our country, and then you watch them do a key bump of cocaine right in front of you, and you're like, this is wild.
Okay, so now I'm going to say something controversial.
Yeah.
Here's a party that believes that the world is totally equal. So all these years that people have been saying the R word, been saying the F word, towards gay people, the R word towards mentally ill people, the N word towards black people. These are the people who think all of this has been taken care of, solved. Right. We live in a non-racist world. Blah, blah, blah. These are the same people that this guy expects me to believe. I believe they're having sex orgies. Yeah. And I don't know how to say this nicely, but I don't believe they're inviting the kid in the wheelchair.
Yeah. I think the guy
left. Sex orgy. The drugged up sex orgy. We're just all like, yeah, yeah, don't worry. There's elevator access. These people don't give a crap. You know, they don't give a crap about people, much less like, hey, let's bring the one with problems. That's not happening.
Yeah. So I think this is a fun story in a couple of ways, because like either this guy is a complete liar or Washington is super corrupt. But also, if he's a liar, then Washington is super corrupt because he's in Washington.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's both.
Yeah, so I think it's a fun one.
I don't think that there's like a mad cabal of coke-driven sex parties.
Neither do I.
With the Republicans or with the Democrats.
No, I think he was making it up.
Are there groups of them doing it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no way there isn't.
Yes. I think he was definitely, like, probably exaggerating a real thing that happened into, like, bait for the QAnon people. But what's funny to me is that it was such a firestorm over this, like, in a way that was that we absolutely did not see when Marjorie Taylor Greene went to the Nazi rally, right? Because people were like, we're very disappointed in her.
Right.
We wish she hadn't done that kind of thing. Yeah. With this, it's like, no, we're funding your primary opponent. He has lost my trust.
It's so blatant. It's so obviously blatant that you're tearing into him just because he made fun of you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what is the swampiest way we could respond?
Right. Had he said that he got invited to a Democrat party trying to pull him over to the other side, they would have applauded him for that story.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and I mean, he didn't actually specifically say Republicans, but also like,
no self-respecting liberals going to party with that dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
exactly.
That is not a wheelchair comment. That is not a wheelchair comment. I am not that guy. I'm just saying that they're that guy. So save the hate mail.
Also, Madison Cawthorn is like right there with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and stuff. Like, he's right on the super far fringe. So, like, I think Democrats probably leave the room when he walks in.
State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Memory Lane is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features furniture, jewelry, sports memorabilia, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved decor, pictures and paintings, and so much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Gateway Shopping Center.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets on sale now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is family night brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractor. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and at after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by country music star Chancey Williams.
I've been living on rodeo, cold beer and old Copenhagen.
And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
This is your Mortgage Minute, brought to you by Mortgage Matt with Megastar Financial.
Hey, Mortgage Matt here with Megastar Financial. Now is an amazing time to buy. Interest rates have been lower than they have ever been, but the thing that's different about this refinance boom is house prices are up and they're continuing to appreciate. For every 1% that interest rates go down, you qualify for 10% more on your buying power. In the midst of this digital age, there is still great value in having a person that can hear about your situation and come up with the best mortgage plan, loan type for your particular circumstance. There is great value in meeting with a lender who is local that you can meet with face to face. Please feel free to give me a call. I'd love to set up a time to meet and figure out the best game plan for your situation.
To learn more about your home buying options, contact Mortgage Matt. Call 999-9000, Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage lender. NMLS 1162668.
It looks like spring, the time of year for dust, pollen, busy birds, and bugs. The time to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash is fast and convenient at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
How many times have you come up with an idea and then forgot it, or did it and gave up because you didn't put the effort into it? Or, you know, I think about this
on a constant basis.
Right. I think about this with inventors a lot. People are just, oh, well, they invented the airship and there wasn't one before. And I'm like, yeah, you know, there was some.
Right.
Lazy ass dude that built the thing, and his family went out and his wife said, this is stupid, and he folded it up and put it in the barn and never brought it out again.
Right. So maybe this was a thing where it's an exaggeration of some, like, prototype Zeppelin where it shouldn't have been.
Right.
These things were described as being crewed by people, though.
Yeah.
So if there was, like, a crew, it's weird that someone didn't, like, break ranks and reveal the story.
Totally. Unless they went down in a fiery Zeppelin crash, because you know what the early Zeppelins were filled with?
Hydrogen, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's possible. It's also, I don't know, I'm not sure what's going on here, but modern, like, ufologists hold this up as these were UFOs, but those silly Edwardians just didn't know it, right?
Sure.
Which, honestly, I think makes as much sense as anything.
But. It does. But I have the same problem with the UFO theory in general, or the ancient alien theory. And while as cool as I think it is, and as well thought out as I think it is by a lot of these people. Mm-hmm. I personally am rooting for humanity. I would love there to be aliens out there and us to become friends, and we can all become friends. It'd be great. We'll have like dinners, make babies together. I'm down with all that.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting that it was humans that built the pyramids and humans flying around in Zeppelins before
yeah.
we and humans who did this, you know. I'd like to think it was us.
Yeah. No, I hope so. I also like that, like, in 300 years or something, we'll be part of the intergalactic community, and someone is going to play that clip, and it's going to be, like, by the standards of that day, a deeply racist tirade about, like, wanting humans to be first.
Right. Yeah, and absolutely. People,
I always think about that. That's a total tangent, but I always think about that with, like, alien movies and stuff, and, like, almost all of our alien movies center humanity as being, like, better in some way. Usually it's that we have some kind of willpower or dedication that aliens don't have.
Yeah, and at least Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy just made us in the way of a galactic thorough.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, man, we are going to have to walk back all of this if we ever become part of, like, a Star Wars-y galaxy of people. Like, we are going to have to unlearn so much, and we're doing it to ourselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it now. So when we think who first circumnavigated the globe, we think Sir Francis Drake. But, you know, now kids are learning in school that it was really a black guy from Africa. I don't even know what his name was I didn't learn it in school. So I imagine us going to this galactic confederation and talking about how great humanity is and having some guy cut in and be all, actually, Smarknoff invented radio on bleep blorp like a billion years ago. So Marconi, you know, it's like they'll be all fine. Well, we were the first humans to do it. They're all, that's great. Keep that to yourself. That doesn't matter. You know.
No, yeah, that would be so depressing to be
totally.
Able to just
because everything you invented was already invented by Smarknoff on bleep blorp.
Yeah, so maybe all the other aliens came to the intergalactic community and they brought, like, unique technologies or unique insights that no one else had discovered.
Right.
And
yeah.
Humans are just like, kind of garbage of a species. They didn't really bring anything new, but I guess they're here now.
Totally.
So
yeah.
we gotta carry, like, protein-based food in all of our, like, airports now.
Yeah, we got another species that thinks their cuisine is good enough to get them in here.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
I think you're right because, you know, we put so much. Well, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago about, like, when people say, yeah, Columbus came over here and did all this stuff, and Columbus was a white guy. And I'm all like, I'm a white guy. Oh my God, I didn't do that. You know, it's like, you know, making these associations, like,
yeah.
With the past or the future, yeah, it's going to be depressing when we get out there and we meet another species and find out you did nothing. Nothing. You didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And
well,
Velcro really was left here on accident, you know, when we find all this out.
One of my least favorite statistics in the world is this haunts me and keeps me up at night, is that basically people who are clinically depressed are better in many cases at, like, identifying, like, the truth about news stories and identifying people's just reading people and reading, like, situations but they're also, like, in some ways on the verge of death, you know, because they've got this problem that, like, clinical depression is no joke. It's a very common illness. I'm sure we all know someone who's or are someone who struggled with it. But also, like, in a lot of ways, it makes you smarter.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's like, God, what a garbage world to live in for that to be true.
Yeah, the moment of clarity that comes with utter complete apathy.
Yeah.
You know? The moment of clarity that comes with, what's the point?
Yeah, I'm hoping someone can, like, correct the record and be like, okay, but it also makes you, like, more foolish in these specific ways. I'm hoping
I'm sure
it's
not
totally like
that. I mean,
that
I think,
like,
you're less likely to pay your rent on time.
No, well, not just that, but I'm hoping that there was some way in, like, in which the depressed mind is unrealistic.
Oh, yeah.
That's what bothers me, is the idea that, like...
tell you where the depressed mind is unrealistic.
Okay.
As somebody who's fought with a depressed mind through my life, I have taught myself over the years that, well, one term I use a lot for things is you can't change the weather. And although our global warming discussion at the beginning of the show, can't do that,
only for the worse.
You know, it is going to snow and the power is going to go out and there's nothing you can do about it. You can either bitch and complain. You can have a grand old time. That is all up to you. Right. You are not changing that outcome. How you feel about it and how you deal with it is in your hands. Now, I understand that people are depressed and that they deal with different degrees and varying degrees of depression. Not trying to tell anybody to pick it up by the bootstraps and do it yourself. But, some of it you have to, because there is no fix that doesn't involve you forcing yourself to try to make it better. There is no fix for anybody, whether that's forcing yourself to get on board with the medication, to work with cognitive behavioral changes, all sorts of things across the spectrum. The biggest factor is I am going to try to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're depressed, you don't say that.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And that's, I think that's a good thing to note.
And also, it's more cortisol, it leads to your life falling apart, it leads to more stress, more fat, shorter lifespan, there's all sorts of stuff. Contrary to having a slightly more clear view of how miserable
it is. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, depression is,
I'm not fighting you,
bad.
You just said that you wanted to hear it, so I'm giving it to you.
No, thank you. But, like, yeah, being depressed is not practical.
No, yeah, they're, because, you know, a lot of these mental illnesses, depression being the one that I understand the most, it's like a downward spiral. It's like, Oh, I didn't do that because I'm a lazy piece of crap. And then while you're bitching about that, you didn't get something else done. And then you go, I didn't do that because I'm a lazy piece of crap. And then after about 5 years, you go, you don't even say I didn't do that because. You just say I'm a lazy piece of crap, so I'm not going to do that. And, you know, you end up digging a hole for yourself while being put in a hole that you don't deserve to be in. So it becomes very difficult because your hole gets doubly deep. But one of the depths is a hole that we put ourselves into. And it's hard to get out of, you know, but once you get up there, you know, and you're willing to take people's help, I think it gets a little easier.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm all positive in my old age. Jeez.
Yeah, what is the show? This is not our brand. We depress people. We tell them how
depressing
things are. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you are listening to Radio Wasteland. you got anything positive for the people to go to sleep on tonight? Maybe something wild.
Something positive and wild. Well, changes in clean energy over the last 10 years or so. Reduce the end of the century estimate for global warming by a couple degrees. So
you are a lot of fun. I bet you're a lot of fun at a party.
God, I don't know what you want me to say. I don't have anything prepared.
All right, you're listening to
me,
Radio Wasteland.
That's amazing.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the